services off tonight by singing page 451. The old account was settled. Sing with me. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Let's sing the second, on the second. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw much pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Amen. Let's sing the fifth. O sinners, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he hath commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Amen.
Welcome back, everybody. As the preacher always asks, did you have a good, relaxing afternoon? Very good. Well, as usual, this is our time of welcoming. Find somebody and welcome them. And if I was upstairs in the youth department, I'd have the kids ask an off-the-wall question. What's your favorite cookie? Favorite color? Maybe favorite ice cream? Just that's a silly question. See the kind of response you get. So welcome.
All right, if you would return back to your seats, remain standing, please, and turn to page 70. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. All right, let's sing the first, second, and last verse of the unclouded day. Sing with me. Oh, they tell me of the home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Let's sing the second verse real slow. Can we try that?
Oh, they tell me of the home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of a land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day.
Let's speed it up.
Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
On the last.
Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives the sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Amen. Let's turn to page 24. The next time he comes. I was just making sure I wasn't wrong on that, because I've done that. From the lofty courts of heaven.
From the lofty courts of heaven came a bud on earth to bloom, knowing when he left his father that his fate would be the tomb. But the grave, it could not hold him. Angels rolled the stone away. Now the mighty rose of Sharon is still blooming yet today. But the next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. The next time he comes, we'll begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me.
I remember
when I met him, how the Spirit took control. He established my going, now he stars in my life's role. For a man to come from heaven, knowing then of Calvary. Oh, what love beyond all measure, that he give his life for me. But the next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. The next time he comes, we'll begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me.
Amen. You can be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, get ready to receive this evening's offering. I tell you what, that song, gets me every time. It's kind of hard to read the words of the tears. So everybody got a bulletin from this morning. Not much has changed. So there we go. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you here today, Lord. Thank you for your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, right now, I ask you to be the offering about to receive, be the gift and the giver, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good evening again.
Good evening.
Well, preacher's out of town, so the leadoff pitcher, he's gone. They've used the bullpen up. There wasn't anybody else to pull up from the farm lead, so they asked the bat boy to do something. So, if you would. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Can everybody in the back row hear me back there? Miss Jen, can you hear me? Miss Jen, can you hear me? Wave your hand. Okay. I just making certain everybody back there in the back. Luke chapter 8. If you'll stand with me, we'll read one verse and we'll continue on. Luke chapter 8. Verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren, my mother and brother are these which hear the word of God and do it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Right now I ask you just to be the reading of your word. Lord, please just take me out. You give me the words you want me to say. I ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. For those kiddos who's up there in the youth department here about 3 weeks ago, this is a review for, I guess, all three of y'all who's up there. So the preacher asked me to preach, and this is the first thing that was on my mind, has been on my heart, and I tried to get away from it, and it's been stuck there ever since. And if I was to title this message, it'd be Hear and Obey. Hear and Obey. But I'd like to go back and read a good portion of Scripture here, and if nothing else, when we get through reading, just in case I take a left-hand turn and follow a rabbit trail, you say we got something here while we're here tonight. So if you go ahead and go back to chapter 8, start there in chapter 8, start way up in verse 1. It says, And it came to pass afterwards that they went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had held every, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna,
the wife of Shuzah, I'm going to guess that's how you say it, Shuzah, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many other, which ministered unto him out of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, they were coming to him out of every city, and he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and some was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. Others fell among good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath an ear, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciple asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. By those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh up the devil and taketh away the word out of the heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear and receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and then choked, and with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lit a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but setteth on the candlestick that which they entered to the house, enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which is seen to have. Then came to him his brethren and his mother, and could not come to him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, "Thy mother and thy brothers stand without, desiring to see thee." And here's what we read earlier. And he answered and said unto him, "My mother and my brethren, are these which hear the word of God and do it." A familiar passage is this. It's told by Jesus in three of the four Gospels, and portions of it are told in different portions. But I happen to like this particular one, the way it's laid out here and told. And let's just go down through this thing. Let me set things up a little bit to reason what has taken place. In chapter 7, if we were to look back in chapter 7, a lot had happened in chapter 7. Jesus, he raised a young man from the dead. Just walked up to a funeral procession, raised him from the dead. Okay? He went to a publican's house, and he ate dinner. And he's got a lot of fame, a lot of fortunes, a lot of people wanting to see him here. And that's where we catch up here in verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass afterwards when he went throughout the city. And tells where he's at and who's with him. It says there's many people who's with him. You know, they've got this 12 disciples and certain women which had been healed of many infirmities and the devils been run out of them. And Mary called Magdalene had 7 devils in her. I mean, I'm not going to go there. I'll leave that one alone. He had a lot of fame in about the city. People's wanting to come and learn more about him, see who he was. He had people gathering all around him. And here we are catching up in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together, come to him out of the city, and this is where he starts to speak a parable. If you can imagine, here's Jesus just walking along with his 12, and if you want to call it his entourage, so to speak, his faithful followers, the ones who's ministering to him all the time, bringing him something to eat, you know, taking care of, you know, this need, taking care of that need, just whatever it might be, you know, and here he is with his group of people going from one city to the next, and maybe there's a rumor. Says, hey, psst. I heard that he healed a man. You know, psst. I heard he raised him from the dead. Psst. You know, and so you got a whole mass of people coming to see what he's all about. And you get this whole group of people around him. That's when he stops and he tells the parable of the sower of the seed. Now, Carter, I asked you this question this morning. I'm going to put you on the spot right now. What's the parable?
The parable is a
very good. Very good. Earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so he spoke this in a parable. And it's a very familiar parable. He's talking about, you know, how there's a sower who's going to go forth and he plants the seed. Now, these folks were folks that lived off the land. There wasn't a Walmart to go to, no Albertsons. If we was in a more affluent part of town, I'd say no Tom Thumb. You know, those. You ever been to a Tom Thumb? Those are nice stores. You can get stuff at Tom Thumb that you can't get at Walmart. You know. Of course, you can get some stuff at Walmart you can't get at Tom Thumb. So anyway, these folks were substance people. They understood the concept of sowing and farming. And so when he's speaking this, it's oh yeah, we understand how all this takes place. Well, we understand. Yeah, they've prepared the ground, and you know they've all known about this. This is nothing new to them. Okay, they understand. There's a sower, a farmer. You know, maybe in a large farm it might have been that had different jobs for the preparation of the fields. You know, maybe the one fella he was the one who walked behind the donkey or the oxen. You know, row after row after row, breaking up the ground. And as he broke up the ground, he had to watch where he stepped because he's walking behind the donkey or the oxen. Maybe that was his particular job. Maybe this next fellow, you know, coming along, he was the one who went and pulled the stuff out of the weeds and the trash and the rocks and the things for, you know, the ground to be prepared. But here's a sower. And maybe he didn't have to talk about all these others. He's talking about the sower at this point. He's the one who goes and throws the seed out. They didn't have John Deere tractors. My dad and I took a trip just this past week. We went up to New Mexico and we come across just some gorgeous, gorgeous farmland. Just flat as flat can be, as far as I can see. If you haven't been up in the panhandle of Texas and up there toward Lubbock, some people will say, there's nothing up there. Well, I'll look a little closer. There's all sorts of stuff up there. There's farmers, you know, you'll see a tractor. It's not a little old John Deere tractor like we see around here. These things have 8 and 6 wheels, some of them. And they turn in the middle. Giant tractors. They have gotten it down so good that not only do they have, they can plow and plant and fertilize in one swipe. Okay? But these folks, his one job was to sow.
Now,
I don't want to talk about the sower anymore. Just letting you know, here's a sower. He goes and plants the seed. So he's talking to these folks in language that they understand. And he goes ahead and tells, you know, all about the different places that the soil that it fell in. And it says, you know, some fell by the way. It's going to take place. It wasn't real precision type thing that was taking place. They just took it and chucked it out on the ground. And then it says, you know, the fowls devoured it up, you know, to become bird seed. And it says some fell among the rocks and sprung up, you know, lack of moisture. And some of them fell among the thorns and everything. And some fell on good ground. Some of them actually hit where it's supposed to hit. And the stuff that hit was supposed to hit actually sprang up and produced some good fruit. This is something that these people understood. And maybe that was enough to satisfy them at the time. Here's a crowd of people coming up to Jesus, and he told them a truth that what actually takes place in everyday living for them, okay? Maybe some of them walked away scratching their head going, what was that about? You know? And some of them said, thinking, oh yeah, that was, yeah, now that makes sense why the stuff that falls on the side don't grow. Maybe that's all it was, okay? But if you were to look at the same event in Mark chapter 4, it says when they was all gone away, it's just him and his disciples. They was all alone. His disciples asked a question. He asked them, you know, they asked him, it says, what's this parable all about? You know, you told him a parable, but what's it about, really? And I kind of like his answer. In verse 10, it says, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I can't help but think of two ways to read that into it right there. It's almost like, hey, you are chosen and just this top secret for you. I like that. I really do. But I can't also have to maybe halfway wonder. It's like, wait a minute. You're my 12. You're supposed to know what this is saying. What, do I got to explain everything to you? Either way, okay. It's possibilities here. He said, unto you is known the kingdom of God. But to others in parables, that they seeing might not see, and hearing they might understand. Then he goes to explain the parable. So this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. You know, I think I've heard this preached every way it can be preached. And I don't think this is a new way. I didn't find any new revelation here. But it seemed like it every time. It either talks about the sower, or it talks about the seed, or it talks about the ground. It is very good. But he explains it. Here it is. He says that the seed is the word of God. And those, he goes now to explain how each seed is, you know, what is taking place. It says those that fell by the wayside, they lost my place here. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and it come up, the devil taketh the way of the world from the heart. And they should believe. I like to think of that as somebody's got a head knowledge of Christ, not a heart knowledge. Okay. And go on down to the next one. He explains to them. And on the rock, it says, which when they hear, receive the word of joy, and these have no root, which, you know, for a while believe, for a time of temptation, fall away. That's, I like to call that the used to's. You ever sit back and listen to somebody before, especially when you talk to them about Christ or the church or inviting them to, you know, and how many times? Oh, I used to do this. Oh, I used to go to church. Maybe they're in church, and oh, I used to teach Sunday school, or I used to do's. You know, they got a bad case of the used to do's. You know, that's the ones right here that fell amongst the rocks here. It said, and they which fell among the thorns are they which have heard the word, which have heard, and go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to perfection. That's, you know, of the ones that we've read so far, to me that's the most tragic. This is things I got to do. We look around and we remember. I mean, even tonight, we got a good crowd here tonight. Well, thank y'all for being here. But you look around tonight compared to what we had this morning, you know, and where are they? Well, there's stuff they got to do. Why do they got to do it? Well, there's stuff that's got to be done. This the weeds have choked them out. You know, the stuff that this, you know, and what some of the things. Hey, we you know, got work. Hey, I don't, you know, begrudge anybody who's wanting to work, has to work. Today we've got to work. Okay, we've got to chase that almighty dollar. That's just part of us. That's just the way we've got to do it. We can't buy things on our good looks anymore. We can't. I wasn't looking at you, Brother Bob. I'm sorry. But there's something we can have. Maybe, you know, it's a family thing. Well, we're having birthday for Aunt Susie Q, you know, and we won't make it back in time. Family's family. I do understand that. Okay, you know, maybe it's the thing, you know, the things I've got to work on such and such, or on whatever the such and such might be. I got a hobby I want to do. I want to go fishing. I want to go play golf. I want to go see whatever it might be. You know, the weeds choked them. You put the label on it, what you think it could be there. The weeds have choked them down, and they don't produce any fruit. It says in verse 15, but on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience in due time. Okay? These are the ones that's held the faith. They didn't fall away. They didn't used to. They're still doing. They're not the ones who said, well, I've got to make a living for myself. They probably took a stand and said, I'm not going to work on Sunday. Or I've got a project I got to finish, but I can finish it Monday after work. Or I've got a hobby I want to go do, but I'm not going to do it on the Lord's Day, possibly. Okay? These are the ones that's fallen on the good ground. And you know what? The Lord has blessed them because of that. It says they've produced much fruit. You know, that's just about where I've always heard that this parable quit being preached at. There's more to it. Verse 16. It says, no man, when he have lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but put it on the candlestick, that they which enter the house might see. Can't hide the light. It can't be done. Cannot be hidden. Once you got the spark there, once you got the spark inside, it can't be suppressed. It's going to come out. Okay? And also, you can't tell somebody one thing with the light, inspect another. Okay? You can't cover up what's already been started here. All right? And the next. Can't pretend of, oh, I do that. You know, it's kind of funny. If I can explain this simply, you know, everything that is done is known. Okay. Well, you know, I invite somebody to church. I really do. Or I do this, or I do that, try to reach up and pat your own self on the back or whatever. If you do, it's seen. You don't need to have the brag about it. People see what's taking place, but they also see what's not taking place. If you claim to be a Christian, you say, "Oh, I invite people to church." Oh, do you? Oh, I talk to people about the Lord. Oh, do you? It's going to be evident. It's going to be, you know, you're going to have fruit to show for it. Okay, because the good ground produces fruit. That's what he says here. The good ground produces fruit. It's something that can be hid. It says, "Take therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even that which seemed to have." You know, that almost seems like a confused verse right there. It's really not when you go back and compare it to some others. The parable of the talents is a real easy, good one to compare it to here. If you'll remember and look back, that the man who had five talents, he got more. And the one who had three talents, he got more. And the one who had one talent, he didn't do anything with it. And what happened to it? He took it away. Okay, same principle here. All right. If you have knowledge of God, if you have understanding from God, if you have a God-given talent, and you're using it, well, He's going to give you more knowledge. And He's going to give you more understanding, and He will give you some more God-given talent. If you have a God-given talent, or an understanding, or knowledge, and you put it, take that candlestick and put it under something, well, He's going to take it away from you. It's sad to say, I've run across folks, and some folks are very close to me, that they used to have standards real high, very straight, very narrow. And they stepped away. And their standards have lowered, and they've broadened, and they've not quite stand for what they used to stand for. I was even showing somebody here on these handy dandy computer programs that we have. I like eSword personally, and on eSword you have these little buttons and you click it and you can get all your Hebrew and Greek definitions up there, and it's just a click of a button. I'm not a Greek student or a Hebrew student by any means, but it gives you a little bit of enlightenment what it was, and I show it on this, and I clicked on the verse, you know, to just, hey, this thing is just trying to show him, hey, what is? He goes, well, that changes everything. I said, what do you mean that changes everything? He says, well, that's man's what man says. And no, that's just the definition of what the word says. Well, that's not what I believe it says. Well, wait a minute, you're not supposed to change God's word. God's word is changing us. Yet years ago, it wouldn't have been that way. You know, he says, it's amazing how things can be taken away. And so when it came to pass, his mother and brother come to him, and you know, they couldn't come to him for the press. And it was told him a certain, which said, thy mother, you know, and brother standeth out, can't, you know, talking about his mother and his brother can't get to him. And here's where I'd like us to look at us again. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brother, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Folks, he's talking about the good ground. The good ground that was back up here in verse 15. Here's the good ground that he's talking about right here in verse 21. Hear the word and do it. I suppose, I don't think I have to go here to very, very long, but can we agree?
Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Amen. Very good. And all the Bible is God's Word. Amen? Amen. Very good. Now, if there is some commands in this Bible, should we not do them? Amen? Okay. So, this we could go all the way back to the Ten Commandments. We could just about pick and choose anywhere we want to go through here. I'd like to take just a few minutes right quick and just go back and look at just a few quick things. If we were to, I'll go all the way back to Matthew chapter 5 through 7. I'm not going to preach the whole thing. The Sermon on the Mount. That's some very, very good things. And starting in verse 5 through 15, that he's teaching us how to pray right here and telling us how to pray. Something, this is Jesus actually speaking here and telling us of these things. Okay? Matthew 6:19-34 is telling us what to do with your time, money, and effort. And not to worry about it. We can keep on going. I mean, all the way down through here. Chapter 7 and in verse 24, it's interesting, he says, therefore, whosoever hears these things of mine and doeth them. Can we see a pattern here? Hear, do, hear, keep, hear, do. Hear them and do them. And if we were to follow on through the rest of this chapter right here, through Matthew chapter 7, it says, hey, if we hear them and do them, we're wise. Kind of like a hope. Well, not the smartest, you know, sharpest pencil in the box by all means. But if you hear what God said, tells us to do and do them, okay, do what God's Word tells us to do, God tells us that we'll be wise. Okay?
Oh, look at another, just a little bit here. If you were to go over here to Matthew 22 in verse 36 through 34, here's a, you know, they tried to catch him in a catch 22, the people of the day, the Pharisees and everything. And here's a lawyer of all people, somebody who's smart, who studied the law, who knows the ins and outs, who wants to know. He says, "Well, we'll just look what he has to say here, you know, to him." excuse me. He says, "Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord with all love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment, and the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophet." He's saying, if you hear and do, starting with these two commandments right there, everything else falls into place. We don't have to go and cover all these other things that we could have covered. If we just love God, love our neighbor as ourselves. Okay. Now, here's a difficult question just to ask here amongst us. Here we are, friends. We're church. We are the core of the church here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Agreed? I'd say so. I look around here. I've seen most of y'all this morning. I'll probably see most of y'all this coming Wednesday. Next Sunday morning, next Sunday night, next Wednesday night. Okay? This is us. This is home, folks. Okay? If you were to look around, I don't look around right now, but if you were, who could you point to and say, "I'm responsible for them being here"? Tough question. Tough question to ask the home folks. Tougher question. Who can you point to here or maybe someplace else to say, "I'm responsible for them being in heaven"? Not that you saved them, but you led them to the Lord. Tough question. And yet Jesus himself, he said, "Love God, love your neighbor as yourself." If we go back, look at our original text, already lost track of. He answered and said to them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." A little bit further in the book, Luke 11, verse 28. Here's Jesus answering a question, answering a lady. She's bragging on his mother. If you can imagine, somebody who's coming up and said, "Oh, your mama must be so proud of you. She's raised such a good son. look what happened. He's going out throughout the whole land. He's loving everybody, and he's healing people, and he's raising people, and all because of his mother. His mother's got a good upbringing and everything. He's bragging on his mother right here, okay? Or she was. And look how he answered her. In verse 28, he says, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Here's the question. Are we hearing the word of God and keeping it? Got a whole book of it. There might be something that applies to you very specifically that only the Lord gave you to do. There might be something that applies to all of us that all of us are supposed to do. That maybe He spoke specifically to you about an area that needs a little help. Okay? Hear and obey. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. John Corden, come up this way. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Whereof our heart condemn us, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God." Just want you to take just a second and ask God, "What have you sent me to hear? What am I supposed to do about it?" John.
Page 218.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. Way of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Thank y'all very much. That boy did best he could, I'm sorry. So, tell the preacher that you miss him. And he'll be back Wednesday, he said, hopefully in time for church. But if not, he'll definitely be back Thursday. So I think that's all. I think that's it. Yeah.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all people here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You're dismissed.